Let's turn in our Bibles now back to Acts chapter 20. This morning we read from Acts. We heard the word preached from the book of Acts. We're turning back this evening now to Acts chapter 20. We're going to consider Paul's words to the Ephesian elders. This is the final time that Paul can address them. This is a really beautiful scene. It's one that I have found great benefit in meditating upon as we see some of the priorities that Christ has for the elders in his church. We'll be considering four of those this evening. If you've got your bulletin there, you'll be able to follow along there on the back for these four priorities for the elders. Here the Apostle Paul commends the elders to God, and it's always upon God that elders are relying to shepherd the church entrusted to their care. Well, let's give our careful attention to God's holy word. I'll begin our reading in Acts chapter 20 at verse 17. This is the word of God. Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, and how I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.' And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship." Amen. Let's bow briefly for prayer. Gracious God in heaven, this is your holy word. And you have taught us in this word that it is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we pray that by this living word, you would shepherd this congregation of your people. Lord, as this local body looks to the election of new elders and deacons, we pray that even this word tonight would be instructive as they consider which men to put forward and to elect to the office of elder. Lord, as we consider what your word has to say tonight about this office, we pray that you would instruct those who currently serve as elders and those who will serve in the future as well. Lord, we understand and we trust that you have provided well for us in and through the office of elder. And so, Lord, we pray that you would fill that office here in this body with godly men, with men who have a heart after your own, so that they might shepherd this flock in a way that mirrors Jesus Christ. And so we pray that you would bless us now to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, everyone understands that last words are always valuable. They're always very important. And if you were just to think about your own life, if this was the last time that you would be seeing the rest of this body tonight, if this were the last time that you would ever see them again, what sort of things might you say as you made your final goodbye? Well, there's no doubt in my mind that you would not waste a lot of time on trivial matters. You wouldn't be speaking about things that really have no bearing upon their lives as you say goodbye, but rather your words would focus in upon what is essential. You would be focusing in upon what is important, what is vital. You wouldn't waste any time with anything that is not absolutely necessary. Well, here in Acts chapter 20, as you have heard me read, this is the Apostle Paul giving his final address to the Ephesian elders. And he knew that this was the last time that he would have with them to address them. And so he focuses in upon what is most important. He loved these men who shepherded the church in Ephesus, and he loved the church that they shepherded. This whole scene is filled with great emotion because of Paul's love for them and their love for him. Well, in reading this section, we have a real blessing to see Paul's final words to the Ephesian elders. And we see, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what is truly important for those who will shepherd among God's people. Perhaps more to the point tonight, as this is recorded in Scripture, we need to be asking the question, what does the Spirit of Christ have for this body as they are looking, as you are all looking, to elect elders to serve as shepherds among you all? Well, let's consider four things that we learn here about the office of elder. Let's begin tonight by considering the elder's example. The elder's example. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul here in this passage begins by setting before the Ephesian elders his own life and his own example. This is not self-aggrandizement. The Apostle Paul did not have a big head, but instead this is a straightforward plea with the Ephesian elders to be conformed to the image of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul called the Corinthian church to be imitators of him. Why? Because he was an imitator of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Apostle Paul begins by addressing the elders' example. So verses 17 through 27, Paul outlines his life and his example, and he provides 10 facets of his life and ministry. Listen to this description of his life and ministry. First, it was focused upon the Lord. He begins by saying that he was serving the Lord. The office of elder is an office in which you are dedicated in your service to the Lord. The Apostle Paul says his example was serving the Lord. Second, he tells us how. He says, with all humility. The Apostle Paul is not holding himself up as an example of a comparative humility. He's not saying, I'm more humble than this other guy, but instead he is talking about an absolute humility, which is what the elders are called to. It's serving in light of Christ's call upon your life. There is no room for pride. There is no room for self-seeking. He served with all humility. Third, he gives us another how. He says, with tears, verse 19. We might summarize the Apostle Paul's tears in many ways. There were tears of suffering. There were tears of compassion. There were tears of bearing the burdens and the griefs of others. His ministry was marked by his tears. He served the Lord with much weeping. Number four, his ministry was saturated with the Word of God. The Apostle Paul highlights that he didn't only serve by preaching the Word of God publicly, but he also ministered the Word of God privately. He ministered the Word of God from house to house. As elders, elders are called to be full of the Word of God so that wherever they are, they might minister that Word. That's why the Apostle Paul also highlights here that he ministered the whole counsel of God. He wasn't committed to certain hobby horses, but rather he was a student of the whole counsel of God, and that is what he applied to the church there in Ephesians. Number five, his ministry was for all people. He highlights the fact that he went to Jews and Greeks. He showed no partiality. He didn't honor the rich above the poor or anything else. No distinctions, no partiality. Number six, his ministry was aimed at repentance and faith. And really, that is a summary of the Christian life. Our lives are to be marked by daily repentance and walking by faith. That's what the Apostle Paul aimed his ministry at. He said he testified of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Elders are to serve to shepherd God's people in a daily life of repentance and faith. Number seven, the Apostle Paul was led by and dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, the Apostle Paul was depending upon God by praying in the Spirit. He was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. He knows here that the Holy Spirit is leading him to Jerusalem, and elders must be living with that same dependence. Number eight, the Apostle Paul ministered ready for trials. He said that the Holy Spirit told him that in every city there were waiting for him imprisonments and afflictions. Again, he's setting this example in front of the elders in Ephesus, and he's saying, imitate me. You too need to be ready for trials. You need to be ready for imprisonments and afflictions. Being faithful to Jesus Christ will bring suffering into your life. Which brings us to number nine. The Apostle Paul poured out his life for the sake of Jesus Christ. He said, I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself. The Apostle Paul had one goal in mind, and that was to glorify his Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the Apostle Paul was fixated on the fact that Jesus gave up his own life, that Jesus sacrificed himself for the Apostle Paul lived by saying that his life was the least that he could give in response to Christ's sacrifice. So truly, Paul called upon the Ephesian elders to imitate him as he imitated Christ. We see in the Apostle Paul a mirror of Jesus Christ. It was Jesus, as Paul teaches us in Philippians chapter 2, that though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But we see the Apostle Paul following in the footsteps of his Savior, walking headlong into whatever suffering might come his way as a faithful under-shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the example that he sets for elders within his church. So you as a congregation, as you think about who you might elect to the office of elder, as we seek the Lord's leading through this election, you need to be thinking about which men from among us follow this example set forth here by the Apostle Paul. Who is really ready and willing to lay down their life day to day to serve Jesus Christ in his church? That's the elder's example. Let's go on now to consider the elder's charge. The elder's charge. I don't think any of you would disagree with me if I were to say that we live in a time of heightened distraction. I don't think anybody is going to debate that. I think we would all agree we live in a time of heightened distraction. We might look at something like the technology that invades all of our hours, the 24-hour news cycle, all of these things well designed to direct our attention where others would have it go rather than where God would have it to go. Well, here the Apostle Paul charged the Ephesian elders to grab a hold of their attention and to direct it in a disciplined way to what is appropriate. An elder cannot be a man whose attention is undisciplined. An elder cannot be one who is unable to focus or to remain attentive. The call of God's word upon elders is to be attentive. Paul here uses the imagery of a shepherd among his sheep. Verse 28. Now just imagine a shepherd out in his field with his sheep, and imagine that same shepherd with an iPhone in his hand. His attention drawn to his phone, and he's all of a sudden taken all over the world with whatever the world's news is. What happens now to this man and to his sheep? How effective is he as a shepherd who is in danger now because his attention has been compromised? Well, obviously, the sheep have been brought into danger because of his compromise, but also this man has been brought into danger because of his compromise. So the Apostle Paul here says, first, pay careful attention to yourselves. This is a call for the elders in Christ's church to pay attention to themselves. Derek Thomas once wrote, "You are only as useful as you are devoted to Jesus Christ." You are only as useful as you are devoted to Jesus Christ. Robert Murray McShane also wrote similarly, saying, "Do not forget the culture of the heart. In great measure, according to the purity and the perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents that God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy man is an awesome weapon in the hand of God." Let me read just one of those lines again. "It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus." Elders, your usefulness in the hand of Christ as you serve in His household is dependent upon your nearness to Jesus. And this is why the Apostle Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves. Your life must match your oversight. Elders, your life must match your oversight. Your example must not contradict your counsel, and you cannot counsel with the Word of God until you have first submitted your own life to the scrutiny and to the instruction of the Word of God. You cannot fix anyone else upon Jesus Christ until you yourself are fixed upon Jesus Christ. In our day and age, it is all too easy to be lulled into a state of distractedness through the busyness of our lives. I imagine that had I not said anything right now about busyness, that if I were to come up to many of you right now this evening and simply asked you, "How's it going?" Many of you, the first word that would come out of your life would be busy. Busy. That is common within our culture today. But elders, you are called to order your lives in such a way that you can give the appropriate, careful, attentive attention to the Word of God. So elders, you are called to fight against that busyness that encroaches into all of our lives so that you can give careful attention to the flock that God has entrusted to your care. It's very easy for us to become imbalanced. Your own responsibilities within your own home, and now as you are called, a couple of you, Lord willing, into the office of elder, you will be adding responsibilities in the household of God. It's so easy to get focused upon the care of souls that you then begin to neglect the care of your own soul. You need to prioritize your own nearness to Christ. You need to then prioritize your own marriage. You need to prioritize your own kids. But then you also need to focus on the whole church. So elders must be diligent. Elders must be diligent to focus upon yourselves individually, but then on yourselves together. Elders must lead in attending to the means of grace. You need the word. You need the sacraments. You need to attend to an earnest study of the scriptures. You might be tempted as an elder to study the word of God so that you might minister it to others, but you first need to minister it to yourself. You need a prayerful dependence upon God. Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 asks a rhetorical question saying, who is sufficient for these things? Well, the obvious answer is no one. No one is sufficient for these things. Only Christ can call elders into this office and then uphold them in their work. So your life must reflect this. Your prayer life must reflect that no one is sufficient, only Jesus Christ. So first, you must pay attention to yourselves. But second, elders, you must pay careful attention to all the flock. The Apostle Paul emphasizes that word all. You need to pay attention to every last member of the church. Communicant members, baptized members. Richard Baxter in his The Reformed Pastor applies this to the pastor in a remarkable way. If you want to be challenged by something, elders, read The Reformed Pastor. He thinks through his congregation and he thinks through the various stages that they are in regarding grace. Some of them are new in the grace of God. Some of them are strong. Others are weak in the grace of God. Some have particular struggles or besetting sins. Others have backslidden. Some are doing well and are strong. He thought through his congregation and tried to identify where each was in their state of grace. He also went through his congregation and thought about what particular challenges faced them in their own various stages of life, young and old, married, unmarried, or widows, fatherless. He went through every sort of conceivable category without partiality and asked the question, how do I, as an under-shepherd, minister to the needs within my congregation? So elders, that is a daunting task, and it means that you must know the people within this congregation. Think about a good teacher. Think about a good doctor. How can a teacher or a doctor meet the needs of their pupils or their patients without first knowing them? In fact, any of you who have any experience as a student or as a patient know that when doctors or teachers get overwhelmed with too many people, they cannot meet their needs because they don't have time for you. So how can you really pay attention to all without being involved in their lives? Elders, you have to organize your lives so that you can be involved with the people in this congregation. We hear this in how the Apostle Paul declared that he taught his hearers not only publicly, but also from house to house. Serving in the office of elder is a great sacrifice of your time. It takes time to build relationships that will deepen over time and throughout the years. So you, sitting in here thinking about this, two of you currently serving as elders, and maybe you other men thinking, maybe one day I'll serve in this capacity, you might be asking yourself the question, how can anyone possibly do this? That brings us third to the elder's motivation. And this is key to serving in the office of elder. The elder's motivation. This question of how is an appropriate question. And Paul answers it with three considerations. He says, first, consider your calling. Here, the Apostle Paul teaches us that the Holy Spirit is the one who makes men into overseers within the church of God. Through the work of the church, it is the Holy Spirit who sets apart men to care for the souls that are given within a congregation. So elders, don't ever forget this. You need to reflect often upon the fact that the Holy Spirit has set you apart for this great work. Think upon it often. Use this great fact to stir up your heart to fervency in your office. So consider your calling. But second, consider Christ's sacrifice. Paul pressed this fact upon the Ephesian elders. He said to them that the Lord Jesus purchased the people under their charge with his own blood. That's a statement that is meant to invoke an emotional response. Elders, you need to think as you reflect upon the people whom you shepherd, and you need to think immediately every time you think about individuals within your congregation, this is one whom Christ purchased by his own blood. He died for them. And if he paid that price, there's nothing too steep. There's no too steep of a price for you to pay in service to Christ as you love them. So don't ever lose sight of that. These are those for whom Christ died. There are going to be times when you are stretched, when you are going to be tempted to grumble and complain because you've already sacrificed so much, because you've already gone so far. But meditate upon Jesus Christ, who never once stopped and said, "No further." He gave everything. Third, consider their vulnerability. Stir your heart up by considering the vulnerability of the flock. Paul warned the Ephesian elders that fierce wolves would come in among them, and these fierce wolves would not spare the flock, that men from among the congregation would arise speaking twisted things, seeking to draw sheep away from the good shepherd. Well, as it was then, so it is today. Elders must be vigilant in their work. Just as a shepherd out with his sheep cannot let his guard down because wolves will sneak in quietly and unnoticed and then wreak havoc upon the flock, so too the elders of the church must remain vigilant. If the shepherds do not believe that the flock is vulnerable, the flock will in that moment become quite vulnerable to the attacks of the evil one. So, elders must consider their own calling. You must consider the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and you must consider the vulnerability of the flock. Well, fourth and finally, let's consider the elders' posture. The conclusion that Paul comes to for the Ephesian elders and every elder in Christ's church is this: you must be alert, you must be dependent, and you must become more and more like Christ. Let's consider each of those just briefly. He says, you must be alert. Look with me at verse 31. He says, therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. All of us, through various circumstances in our lives, know what it is like to be tired and drowsy. We know how hard it is in moments like that to give our attention to that which we ought. But the call upon the elder is to be like the watchman upon the wall of the city that is the church, the watchman whose job it is to remain watchful. The hardest part of being a watchman is going through the long watches of the night. That's when everyone else is able to go and take their rest while you must remain watchful for any attack. The elder who is serving in this capacity must be diligent to his post to be watchful so that those within the care of the church will remain safe. Be alert. Second, be dependent. Paul's final thoughts are summed up in this: be dependent upon God and his word. That's what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders. He said, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are being sanctified. These words should be of a particular encouragement to the elders, because in this address, Paul is not commending the church as a whole to God and to the word of his grace, although that could be an appropriate application. But rather here, the Apostle Paul is commending the Ephesian elders to God and to the word of his grace. He's encouraging these men who each and every day feel inadequate, insufficient for the task that God has called them to. He is encouraging them to go to God and to go to His Word, because that, those two things, God and His Word, are the only things that are sufficient for the man of God to shepherd the people of God. Again, whenever the elder is asking that question, who is sufficient for these things? The answer is God and His Word. This is important for elders to always understand. You serve in a calling that goes far beyond your ability. The resources that you need lie outside of yourself. So to be found faithful, you must not look to yourself, but instead you must look to Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. And that brings us to that third commendation. Become more and more like Christ. In verses 33 through 35, the Apostle Paul returns to his own example of Christ-like service. Listen to what he says. He says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. There the Apostle Paul is simply quoting Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus is the greatest example of this, because he said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So the elders of Christ's church must be filled with a deep love for Christ and a deep love for the body of Christ. This isn't a natural love, but rather it is a supernatural love. You need to go to the well that is Jesus Christ. You need to study the heart of Jesus Christ for His body, the church. As you go and you study Christ's heart for His church, it will form in you a heart that wants to love the church in the same self-sacrificial way. So as we've considered these things this evening and in the life of this congregation, as we look forward to adding elders to this important office, may we consider these things and be prayerful that through this process, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, would call men with a heart after His own who are ready and willing to lay down their lives to love His church in a way that reflects the way that He has loved His church. Let us pray together. Lord God, we do commend ourselves to You now. Just as the Apostle Paul commended the Ephesian elders to You and to the word of Your grace, Lord, we do the same with this congregation. Lord, we commend ourselves to You, asking that You would provide more men for the offices of the church, but particularly as we have considered the office of elder tonight, we ask that You would provide men to serve as under-shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that You would call men into this office who love Jesus above all other things, and because they have a love for Jesus above all else, that they would love His church above all else. Lord, we pray that You would be preparing godly men who have been faithful in little things, faithful in their own work, faithful in their own families. Lord, we pray that You would be calling into this office men who have been faithful to manage their own homes before being called to serve in the management of the household of God. Lord God, we ask that You would lead and guide through the processes that You have provided to bless this church with more men for the ministry. And so, Lord, we do commend ourselves to You now in this way, praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.